following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. As dated as this might become, I should say, those of you who listen to this podcast on a routine basis know that it's not like an immediate thing. It comes out every Sunday, of course, and to stick to that schedule, I'm usually at the last minute trying to get things done. But that's the way it goes, and my life in Radioland is like that. And as a result of that, right now, right this minute, on this particular day, this is like the day after Valentine's Day. This is why I'd say this is going to be kind of dated, but it's sort of relevant. We are preparing ourselves for our annual winter snowstorm. It comes into the Memphis area. It depends on who you talk to, depends on what forecast model you look at. There's a significant amount of snow, perhaps. In the ensuing moments, at least within the next 24 hours. And they're also talking about lots of sleet. And of course, and what I mean by a lot, those of you that live in climates where this sort of thing is routine, for us down here in the Mid-South, when you get anything over an inch, it's complete bedlam. There's panic. Think of it this way. If it's raining in Los Angeles, there's complete bedlam and panic in the streets. Here in Memphis, you get a little snow and everybody freaks out. And it's as if we've never seen it before, but every year there is some type of winter frozen activity. I lived in Kansas for a while, where snow is just a thing. It's a fact of life. You deal with it and you move along. You do things like shovel your sidewalk. You have to prepare for these things. And right now, as we speak, there's a sense of calm to it. It's not like complete panic, but there are people now who have attacked the grocery stores on social media, in my feeds, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. There are pictures of somewhat empty shelves. You would think there was a hurricane coming. You would think that that people were going to be trapped in their homes for months on end by the way they shop. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to get a blast of some frozen precipitation, probably a lot of sleet and a bit of snow later on Sunday night into Monday morning. Driving into work tomorrow morning, or Monday morning for me, the next day is going to be a bit different, of course, because the roads aren't fully prepared for this. And it's not that I don't have a problem with that. It's, you give yourself your extra time and you get here when you can and you do what you do. The issue is that the other idiots out there that think that they know how to drive in it, but they don't. And it's the people who drive the big trucks, which is a big thing down here in the South. They think, well, I got this this big truck and I can just go through anything and, y'all watch this. It's that sort of thing. And the fact of the matter is, they don't know what they're doing. And that's the scary part. If I knew that there was nobody out on the road, driving in would be a cinch. It's the fact of the matter is, stoplights are going to do what stoplights do. They turn red every once in a while. And when you do, you have to, as you go through the intersection, you wonder if there's going to be some jackass, because Memphis drivers have this tendency. Oh, I could do a whole show on Memphis drivers. Those of you that listen, that are down here, that are in Memphis, understand this. There is this this technique of driving here, a couple of very odd techniques that it takes a while to get used to see, because when other people do this and you don't do it yourself, for the most part, nobody will ever admit to it, of course, and I don't drive like this, but they wait to the very last second to put their foot on the brake. And you can't do that if there's any frozen precipitation on the roads, or you'll slide right into somebody. It happens all the time. The other big thing that they like to do is make turns from the wrong lane, and that's constant. That is a given. There are people in the far right lane that did not get into the left turn lane, all right, two lanes over, that will somehow hold up everybody because they've got to make that turn. They didn't think about that before they got there. That's just how they drive. That's what makes driving along the freeways so amusing, because invariably there will be somebody in the far left lane driving ridiculously fast, and you're in the middle lane trying to, you know, keep an eye on everybody. And they get, there's an exit coming up, but they don't think about their exit until they cut across all of the lanes. And there's that, you know, that wedge of asphalt there that's open, that's not marked for you to get into. It's meant to tell you that this is, you know, there's the exit veers off to the right. They will cut through that along the way into their exit. So you have to be, and of course, there's no turn signals involved in any of this. You just have to keep that in mind. I almost quit using mine because it's pointless. By turning your signal on, indicating that you are perhaps making a lane change or that you are going to be turning somewhere, around here, it is a sign to your fellow driver that you are sharing the road with that you are going there and probably be in that spot before they will. And they're not going to have that. So you're, in essence, you're telegraphing your move so they can react to you in a way that is maybe not necessarily cool. We don't have defensive driving here. We have very offensive driving. And it's easily to be offended when you're driving in this town. Now add to that any of this frozen mess that's going to happen. So you got some people who will say, screw it, I'm not going out, I'm staying in. And they're staying off the roadways. These are the smart people because they get it. They understand. And then you have those that go, it's just some snow. I got my big 4x4 and we're just going to plow right through this bitch. And they don't change their driving any way, shape, or form just because there's some stuff on the ground. And it's just the way it goes. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting 48 hours. Now, and in the middle of all this, like right now, you've got the people in the grocery stores. They're buying up all the bread, all the milk, all the eggs. They're preparing themselves for what may be, in their minds, an extended stay at home. And they've got to make sure that they have all the necessary ingredients to make French toast, because that's what they're doing, I guess. I don't know. They just want to make sure they have bread and milk. Even the weatherman on the popular local television stations here, I'm not going to say who it is, but they actually have a panic button, and it's a thing, and it's like this little graph. How bad is the weather going to be? I'll tell you. And they push this little thing, and there's this little arrow that goes around, and it stops on a hey, you're going to give yourself extra time to get to work, or go get bread and milk, that kind of thing. And it makes no difference, because just the mention of the word snow in this town, and there's just chaos, complete and utter chaos. They've already salted the roads, which is amazing. It was 60 degrees when they did it. And I don't know what difference it's going to make, but, they feel that they have to do something. So that's going to be a thing. Now, and I think the reason why people head to the grocery stores to buy everything, because this stuff isn't going to stick around much more than a day or two, if that. And after the first initial blast of it, then, like let's say it snows on a Monday, early Monday morning or late Sunday night, by Tuesday, midday, it's just a bit damp. That's all there is to it. And it's gone. And it'll, you'll still see some of the stuff, stuck on, up in the bushes or, where the sun can't get to it and melt it off. But the reason why is that several years ago, in fact, it happened right before I moved here to this town. It was something like 22, 23 years ago. There was a massive ice storm that came through here, and that was bad. It really was. It was a horrible thing. It was raining while it was freezing, and when the water stuck to whatever, a tree branch or where things got wet, it would freeze immediately. And power lines were the issue. And all this ice accumulated on these tree branches and on these power lines, and they both came down. And it was this area was plunged into a veritable darkness for like a couple of weeks. And there were people that were literally trapped in their homes. You couldn't even fathom trying to drive out on these roads because it was literally an ice covered in ice. There was no driving. There was nothing going on. The place had shut down. It was a bad thing, and it was one of those, you know, once in a 100-year events. And as bad as it was, I think people, because of that, get a little worked up when there's talk of some type of snow, because they think that it's going to turn into that again. Because if I recall, this particular ice storm that happened several those years ago wasn't really predicted. We didn't expect it to happen. A lot of the citizens here were like, it's just some snow. And ever since then, people have just gone completely bananas over any type of this precipitation. So, you know, that's happened. And that's the way it's going to be. So there'll be people glued to their televisions, and they'll be watching the weatherman. The weather guys love this stuff. And in fact, with Radio Memphis, we work with a group called MemphisWeather.net. They are a straight internet-based weather provider, and it's run by this cat by the name of Eric Procius. And Eric is a great dude. Eric is he's a meteorologist for FedEx, and you know, FedEx, their main hub is here in Memphis. They own like 2/3 of the airport here, and his job is to make sure that the pilots know what's going on above them and the stuff that they're flying into. So, you know, being an educated scientist, which is what he is, he's also on the side created this thing called MemphisWeather.net. And he gets, you know, he looks at all the models, and he's a smart guy. I mean, he's one of these cats that you really pay attention to. And what I like about him is that he doesn't push a panic button. He doesn't say, oh my God, it, you know, because some of the guys on TV, and it may be where you live, that when there's any type of slightly out of the norm weather, some of these guys go crazy. They jump the gun. They go nuts. They're pushing the panic button. They're getting people all worked up. And Eric doesn't do that. He's actually been right more than he's wrong. And, you know, he's even said, he said, people are asking me how much snow we're getting. He says, I'm not going to tell you because whatever I tell you will be wrong. He's actually said that this particular event may not be that significant. May not be. I mean, it's, you know, it's guesswork still for but it's educated guesswork. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how it all shakes out here in the next several days. Now, Sunday night, as this is coming in, I'm actually going to be live on the air. And then I got to turn around and find a way to get back in here Monday morning. And that'll be a circus. But it'll be fun. If you want to, you know, hear about it, I'm sure I'll talk about it later. So, and I know this makes no sense, because by the time you listen to this, it's already passed. It's already happened. So that's the one kind of the drawback of this particular show, is that it's not necessarily a, you know, topical. It's as topical as I can make it, at the very least. Because here was the thing, you know, I come in and I sit down, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to get into this time around, and the only thing that was really worth kind of getting to at the moment was the weather. I mean, granted, there are some other things I could get into, but you know, it would have turned into this sort of me being bitchy, and I'm just not really up for that right now, and I don't think you are either. It's not really worth it. No, not in the least, not at all. So there. I'm not like everybody else, I can tell you that, because I'm not in the grocery stores. I have been caught in the grocery store during a pre-weather event. And I don't suffer fools very well. I don't suffer the idiots very well. And so I was a little cranky about it. And I was amused by, you know, the people that were just, they didn't know what to expect. And as a result, you know, you just kind of shake your head and put up with it and be patient. That's the hard part, is being incredibly patient throughout all of this. It's not easy. I know that. And being not like everybody else, you find yourself being sort of you feel like you can be an outcast, an outsider, if you will. A lot of folks claim they know me. They don't. A lot of people think that I am much like them. And I guess in some aspects I am. I mean, I still put my pants on one leg at a time like most of you. Although there has been that, just to be different, I'll put them on, you know, at the same time. And it's easy to do if you know how to do it. But You know, people will say, you know, I'll meet them and they'll want to engage me in conversations that they think of stuff that, by virtue of the things that I've discussed, whether on this podcast or on the air, you know, they'll think, oh man, I know you like auto racing. What do you think? What do you think of this this whole NASCAR season coming up? You know, I hear that, and yeah, I truly am into auto racing, but I'm not into NASCAR. NASCAR, I think, is stupid. Why they have a yellow flag is beyond me. If they had taken the yellow flag, the caution flag, out of the whole, take it all out. Just don't even use the damn thing. There's a green flag at the beginning and a checkered flag at the end. And the only time you would use a red flag is if there was a severe problem. I'm a Formula One guy myself. I do enjoy that. And yeah, I know it's got its problems too, but at least it's an honest, straight race. NASCAR is not. In my opinion, this is strictly my opinion. You don't have to agree with me at all. But NASCAR is ridiculously stupid. And when they introduced this thing, this competition yellow, well, they were just going to throw a yellow flag just so everybody's on the same level. It's like, what's the point? This is not racing. So I quit watching it. That was my solution. And when anybody asked me about it, what I think about certain drivers or this, that, or the other, it's like, you know, I try and be polite about it, and I'm not going to sit there and insult somebody else's favorite thing to their face. I'll do it in a podcast. I don't know. Some of you might like it. And if you do, that's great. That's wonderful. Everybody has to have their own things. But as a result of what, I guess, whether it's safety or whatever, however they feel that they've wanted to do or stretch the damn thing out. And when they did all this, it spread over into indie racing, and I used to really enjoy indie racing, and now that's even kind of, once you start watching a lot of Formula One or Grand Prix style racing or British touring car racing, and you start seeing a lot of that stuff, and you realize just how badly we as Americans have really fucked up a pretty cool thing, which is sad, really. I mean, look at the NFL. Well, this went crazy, didn't it? The NFL to me is also just as stupid. They have instituted so many damn rules to the damn thing that by due to a penalty, you're getting a lot of yardage. and it's just sad. Do this, and I know that the Super Bowl's already happened. There's not going to be any football for a while, thank God. But here's the thing. Next time you sit down watching a game, take a stopwatch and start it when the ball snaps and stop it when the whistle blows, and then do that, keep starting and stopping all the way through one quarter of the game, one of the 15 minute quarters, and you'll see that on average these guys are playing about 3.5 to 4.5 minutes per quarter. That's 16 minutes across the game. That's really what it is. Whereas, and I'm not, you know, well, you know, you're not going to go on a little soccer thing, are you? Yeah, I am, actually, because, you know, the everywhere else in the world, it's followed. They all say the same thing about the NFL. They think it sucks. It's boring, as they call it. And when you watch Europeans and South Americans and Asians, and you watch all these people compete in soccer, or as they call it, football, It's something. It's something to behold. Yeah, I don't like the fact that it ends in a tie every once in a while. Sort of like, why bother? But there's a lot of athleticism going on in there. They're constantly running. They're running their asses off. And it's on a big field. And there's so much going on. And there's the occasional headbutt. There's guys piling into each other. And they have not instituted all these crazy rules like they have in the NFL. Am I qualified to speak on such matters at great length? Absolutely not. But, you know, even baseball to the point, I mean, and I really enjoyed that. I still do. I still like watching the occasional game. But I think a lot of what has happened to baseball is actually on the point of the spectators, the fans themselves, in that we have such a shorter attention span that the game appears to be slow and boring. It is, to a certain extent, slow and boring. It's the way the game works out. But if you want to get an idea of what slow and boring really is in the world of sport, watch a cricket match sometime. Yes. Invest a good chunk of your life watching one of those matches. It's a tremendous sport, but by God, it is incredibly slow and very boring. But there again, you know, other sports, other games that have come into the public eye, like like curling, people really dig it. And it's fascinating to me, you know, when the Winter Olympics rolls around, everybody is glued in to the whole curling matches. And it's like, well, why is this not on television all the time? And there was a curling match that happened to be on some obscure sports channel that we have on one of our cables. And I found myself watching it for a bit because it is, it's like a bunch of drunks out on the ice playing shuffleboard, which is kind of what it is, I suppose. I don't know that much about it. I just know it's just sort of amusing to watch. And you would think that there would, with as big of a following as curling has in the U.S., that's not me being farty, by the way. This is new chair I'm sitting in. The whole point of the of watching this is to be entertained, to be amused. And you would think if so many people like it that they should form, I don't know, curling leagues, professional curling league, you know, and broadcast it, put it on the TV. That's what people want to watch. I give it to them. I didn't expect to really devolve myself into sports the way that I have, but you know, why not? Everything's fair game around here. I seriously wanted to come in and tell you about the weather, I did not expect to get into sports, but that happens. That's the way it goes. Speaking of sports, though, while I'm thinking about this, I have something special planned for all of you that are subscribers to this podcast. As you know, a couple of weeks back, we had a guest, Mr. Josh Robert Thompson, great guy, great interview, great conversation, had a lot of fun, and it really kind of opened up my mind about bringing in more and more people, and we're doing that. And I also wanted to do this show in a public venue, and we're going to pull that off, and we're going to combine the two things at the same time. I have some important stuff to tell you. It's not as dramatic in a podcast, is it? No, here's the thing. We have been working feverishly to try and put such a show together, and it looks like we've got it happening. We're going to be at a place called Three Angels at Broad and Collins in Memphis in the entertainment area, the Broad Street Arts District. We're working right now. The only thing we have to work out now is the date and get everybody lined up for this. But my guest on an episode of this podcast will be the great Jerry Lawler. Yeah, from the WWE, baby. The king himself, Jerry the King Lawler, is going to sit down with yours truly. And here's the thing. We're opening this thing up to the public. They can come in. They can see this whole conversation we're going to have. And we're going to set up another microphone and invite a few people from the audience to come up and be on this program and to have a chat with Jerry. And I won't be there. I'm just sort of window dressing at this point because it's Jerry the King Lawler, for God's sake. So yeah, that's going to happen. My wife is actually very good friends with Jerry, and she ran into him, and she was telling him, I haven't talked to him in forever, but yeah, he was like, yeah, I want to do the show. And so he's going to come in and do it. And he's a great guy. He really is. He's a lot of fun. Even if you're not a fan of wrestling, which is one of those things that it's either you really love it or you really don't. And I'm not like that either. I like watching a little bit of it. It's because it's fun. It's different. It's yeah. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's a show, and that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about his career in wrestling. We'll also talk about his ability as as an artist. He's a tremendous artist. I mean, like comic book style artistry, and he's a big fan of Superman and every itineration of that character. So we'll talk to him about all that. So that's coming up. As soon as we have a date in mind, I'll let you know. You'll be able to tune in. You know, if you're out of the area, you'll be able to pick it up, you know, as the podcast itself, of course. But if you're going to be in the Memphis area, you can come to the show. It'll be free. It'll be nice. It'll be in a nice, it's a great little restaurant and bar. You can get you a cocktail or several and have you a bite to eat and just hang out with me and the king. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll let you know the date once we have all that set up. And in the process of that, we're also booking in other artists that will also be doing, not artists per se, but other interesting folk at Three Angels. But we've been working very closely with the ownership there, and they're just wonderful people, Amy and Julio. And we're going to bring in some other fine folks to have a discussion with. So not going to elaborate any further than that. But yes, Jerry the King Lawler will join us from Radioland. He's done. He did a podcast. I forget who he said it was for. And he said he just had so much damn fun. He's looking to do it again. And it is. It is. It's a lot of fun because it's just so free and you know, you can do what you want to do with it. So we've got that going. And well, yeah, we'll talk about the sporting end of it. I also want to talk to him about Andy Kaufman. When Josh and I were talking about that, you know, how interesting Kaufman was. You know, Jerry was right in the middle of that. It's hard to remember that, but he was such a part of that huge joke that Andy had played on all the public. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great time, and we'll let you know when all that's going to be. In the meantime, here's a look at what's coming up next time.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
People are funny. I laugh at society because it seems as though we as a group of, you know, humans are resistant to change. We are not as a group or as a country, I think, ready to embrace any type of change whatsoever. And here we are, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'll never carry a purse. I'm too manly for that. Man, I carry so much shit with me wherever I go because I never know what I'm going to need.
They're a little out of touch because shopping malls are not populated by anybody anymore.
They realize that, A, most Americans, especially in the South, are heavily armed and trigger happy, and B, kind of drunk, so they're ready to shoot just about anything for any reason whatsoever.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
By the way, you may have noticed we've done made a few little changes to the way the show is produced. We just added a couple of elements. J.C. King to come in and do, I guess, the imaging of it, if you will. He works for Radio Memphis. And I said, hey, if you got a minute, he cut a couple of lines for me. And it really kind of dresses the thing up a little bit. You know, you've been doing it for a year. You got to, you know, kind of clean it up a little, you know, do some things. I talk like I know what I'm talking about, and I don't. I'm not an expert by any means of how this is done. I just sit here and run my mouth for, I don't know, a few minutes, and then we get something done out of it. And I don't know. I don't know. So there you go. What I do know is that's going to do it for this episode. My thanks to everybody who has tuned in and has been a subscriber to it. If you're new to the program, you can find us on iTunes. You can also find us at TuneIn. Is an app that you can have for your phone. And they have a ton of shows up there, and you can grab it and listen to it there. We're on Player.fm. We're on Stitcher. Those of you that have all those apps or any one of those, you can find this program there. And, of course, you can download it. We've got it parked at our site that hosts it is podbean.com. If you're looking to start a podcast, I recommend them. They do a fine job over there. And if that wasn't enough, you can always find it at radio-memphis.com. Look for the thing that says from Radioland, and you're in. It's just that easy. So there you go, kids. I got to run. I got stuff I got to get into, unfortunately. But we'll be back again. You heard what's coming up next time. So until then, take care. We'll see you around. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.